If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn to the book of 2 Timothy. I want to look at the first seven verses of 2 Timothy this morning, with particular focus on verse 5. Every time we come to a national holiday, I always like to go back and find out why we celebrate this national holiday. So, what's the story behind Mother's Day? We can thank President Woodrow Wilson for making Mother's Day a national holiday in 1914. He said that this day, the second Sunday of May, is set aside as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. However, we should also thank Anna Jarvis. Her mother's name was Ann Reeves Jarvis, and her mother was instrumental in organizing what she called Mother's Day work clubs in the late 1850s to improve sanitary conditions that contributed to the high infant mortality rate of their community. Her mother had 13 children, and only four of them survived. So this was a very a dear cause to her mother. After her mother's passing in 1905, her daughter Anna organized a small service in honor of her mother. And she did that on the second Sunday of May. By the way, the second Sunday of May was when her mother had passed away. The next year, they had their first formal service, and it was held in the same little church in Grafton, West Virginia, and they also held another service in Philadelphia. And at that particular service, Anna Jarvis handed out white carnations to all mothers, sons, and daughters. Later, as she continued, she later urged with a relentless letter-writing campaign to drum up support for Mother's Day. She wanted it to be an acknowledgement of all the mother does for the family. And all of this was because of her mother's influence in her life. I have to say, I wish the story ended there, because that's a great story. But it doesn't. Later on, she was very remorseful for starting this Mother's Day holiday. In fact, she saw it coming so commercialized that she really regretted even starting it. In fact, she would go on to sue the floral companies for trying to take advantage of this holiday. She would also write against politicians who would use this holiday to drum up their own support. What's sad is Anna Jarvis was later admitted to a mental facility, and she died alone, penniless, having no children of her own. Influence can be a precarious thing, can it? Abraham Lincoln said this: "No one is poor who had a godly mother." He would go on to say that, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." I wonder if perhaps in the course of his life, Timothy, who we're going to read about today, might have thought the same kind of thoughts about his mother and about his grandmother. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it reads, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Go back to verse 5 for just a moment. Paul, encouraging Timothy, says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother and your mother, and I am sure dwells in you as well. Let's pray together. God, we want to come to you, Lord, and ask that you would speak to us today. God, that you would help us understand the great influence that we have in people's lives. God, that you would help us be people who would leave a godly legacy, that we would be a godly influence into the lives of our family, even to our friends and our coworkers. God, thank you for, Lord, your presence here today. And God, may everything that we do be to your honor and to your glory. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen and amen. What kind of influencer do you want to be? What kind of influence do you want to have? Here, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. In verse 2, it says that he is my beloved child. You might remember if you go back to Acts chapter 16, as Paul is on his second missionary journey, he had just had kind of a little bit of a breakup with his mission team, and he picks up Timothy, who was so well thought of by his brothers, and he begins to take Timothy along with him on his missionary journey, and Timothy becomes basically his son in the faith. You might also remember that that Timothy did not have a believing father. Here in the scripture, it mentions his mother and his grandmother, but his father was not a believer. So the influence of his mother and his grandmother weighed heavy on his life, and Paul is writing to him as his own son in the faith. And he reminds him in verse 3 that he constantly prays for him night and day. Just in a side note, what an encouragement to know that people are praying for you. Here is Timothy, who is a young minister who perhaps is struggling in what he's doing, and here is his mentor, his father in the faith, saying, I constantly pray for you. What an encouragement that must have been. And his prayer is one of thankfulness, of thankfulness for Timothy. In verse 4, Paul recalls their last meeting as he reminds him of the tears that was in Timothy's eyes when they left. It was a bitter departure as Paul left Timothy at the church of Ephesus, and many tears were shed, and Paul, being like a loving father, is reminding him of the longing that he has to see him again so that he may be filled with joy as well. Verse 5 reminds us here that Paul is encouraging him to remember that he has a sincere faith, the same faith that his mother and his grandmother possessed. What a testimony that is about these great ladies. I mean, think about it. It's not like he's very general in this. He calls them by name and calls them by their first name, Lois and Eunice. Paul had a relationship with these ladies in the faith. In fact, many people suspect that as Paul was making his first missionary journey through the area where Timothy was raised in Galatia, that it was Paul himself that led these ladies to faith in Christ. So he had a personal relationship with them. And what a testimony this is about their faith, that it was a sincere faith. What's the reason that Paul is beginning the letter this way to Timothy? Well, the reason is found there in verse 6, where he says, I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. To remind him of his faith and to fan that into flame so that, in verse 7, he wouldn't live in a spirit of fear, but in one of power, love, and self-control. As we think about Mother's Day, and we think about all that means in so many different ways, The question that comes to my mind is, what do you want most for your children? What do you want most for your children? Well, I tried to Google that. And you know the kind of answers I got back? What we should get our mothers on Mother's Day. That's not exactly the question that I typed in. But if you read through some of those lists, you kind of get an understanding of most people want their children to be happy. Mothers, if you agree with this, you can, you know, say amen or nod your head. I mean, most of you want your children to be happy. Most of us want our children to be successful. Most of us want our children to be loved. Most of us don't want our children to be cowboys. Sorry, every once in a while I get on a country music thing, and anyway, so don't let them grow up to be cowboys, okay? Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. We want our children to succeed in life, to be happy and successful. But let's be really honest with ourselves. As Christ followers, we should want our children to also be faithful followers of Christ. I mean, if there's one thing that I want in my children's life, and I hope this is true about you, is you want them to be faithful followers of Christ. And let me tell you something. If you just do that, then you have done more than enough for your child. That's exactly what Timothy's grandmother and mother did in his life. They left a legacy of faith that he continued to build on. I want to share with you this morning very quickly three valuable lessons that we learn from a grandmother and a mother and their influence in Timothy's life. First of all, we learn that we must have a sincere faith. We need to have a sincere faith. This was Paul's reminder that Timothy had this sincere faith, the same kind of faith that dwelled with his mother and grandmother. It's interesting when you look at the word sincere in the text, it literally means genuine or without hypocrisy. In other words, that these ladies just didn't talk the talk about Jesus. They walked the walk, they lived it out so that their grandson and son could see it in their lives and follow their example. In Acts 16, I already mentioned this, Timothy was known among the brothers. He was well spoken of because of his faith, and because of that, he ended up partnering with Paul in the missionary journeys. And it was because of the influence of his mother and grandmother and the faith that they were passing on to him. They had taught him to live out his faith, to live it out in front of other peoples. That's a great testimony. A great testimony. We all must have a sincere faith. A lot of times, though, we just have a pretend faith. We have faith when we need it. We have faith when it's, you know, a good thing for us in the moment. We have faith on Sunday mornings, but not through the rest of the week. We talk a good game about faith, but we don't really possess it. Well, let's just call it as it is. Many times we act like people who do not have faith rather than people who have sincere faith, a genuine faith, a faith without hypocrisy. If we learn anything from Timothy's mother and grandmother, it is that we must have a sincere faith, a genuine faith. Secondly, we learn that we must teach the Scriptures. As a follower of Christ, we need to make sure that we're passing on what the Scripture says. Later on in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, there we are reminded, as Paul is speaking specifically to Timothy, he says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." You see, how did Timothy come about his sincere faith? It was because his mother and grandmother invested in him the sacred writings. They taught him the Scripture. And we need to do the same. We need to be people who pass on the Scriptures to our children and our grandchildren. The scriptures here in this verse remind us that they give us wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Why is it important that we teach our children the scriptures? Because the scripture is what leads them to salvation. The scripture is what has the power to get them to that point of faith where they choose to follow Jesus. And really, shouldn't that be what we all desire most for our children and for our grandchildren? That they become faithful followers of Jesus, that they understand what's written in God's word about that. God's word reminds us in Romans 3:23, that we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. That it reminds us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of that sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Shouldn't we be focused on the fact that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us? This is the gospel message that is proclaimed throughout the scripture. This is the wisdom that leads to salvation. This is where Romans takes you as you read along in Romans, to the point of Romans 10:9-10, where there it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. If you keep on reading, it says this, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is good news. That is the sacred writings teaching us wisdom that leads to salvation, salvation that's only found in Jesus Christ as we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness and invite Jesus into our heart to be Lord of our life. The Bible says that if we call on the name of him, of Jesus, we will be saved. That's what we should be teaching our children, leading them to Jesus. We have to have some sincere faith. We have to teach the scriptures because, really, that's the most important influence that we can have in our children's lives. Third, we must live out the gospel. We must live out the gospel. If you continue reading in 2 Timothy, verse 8, it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. We have to live out the gospel. We have to come to a point in our life where we're not ashamed about what Jesus has done for us. Paul says in Romans that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We need to live out the gospel in our life, not to be ashamed of what God has done for us, but with enthusiasm share with others the good news that Jesus still saves, that he can save you, that he has saved me. I don't think this is the first time that Timothy had probably heard this. I think his mother and grandmother probably lived this out every day in their lives. We live out the gospel by being a testimony to others about Christ. We live out the gospel by walking by the Spirit. We live out the gospel by leaving a pattern of our lives that others can follow that will lead them to Jesus. Let's not be hindered by a spirit of fear, as in verse 7, but we need to have a spirit that is one that we can walk in power, a spirit that dwells within us so that we can walk in love, the spirit that dwells within us so that we can walk in self-control. I think that's what living out the gospel is, living by walking in love and power and self-control, walking and living by the Spirit so that we are a testimony of what Jesus has done for us, so that we will leave a pattern that others can follow. So this morning, as we think about mothers, as we think about being followers of Jesus, how is your influence? Are you living with a sincere faith? Are you teaching the scripture to those who follow after you? Are you living out the gospel in your life? The greatest influence that a mother can have is the influence that points people to Jesus. I hope that's the way you live your lives. I hope that's how you have lived your life, with sincere faith, with understanding and teaching the scripture, with living out the gospel so that others can see Jesus in you and follow after your life. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for speaking to us this morning with the reminder the great influence that we hold in people's lives. God, the great influence that a mother holds in their children's lives. God, I pray, Lord, that we as your children would be a people of genuine faith. God, that we would take serious your commands to not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, to teach the scriptures to our children and our grandchildren, to pass on the faith to the next generation, and to do that by living out the gospel every single day of our lives. God, we want to say how thankful we are that you loved us enough, that you were willing to send your one and only Son to die for us on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And God, I pray this morning that if there's someone here that does not know you, God, I pray that you've spoke to their heart today, God, that you would draw them to yourself, God, that they would understand their need for you, that their sin separates them from you, and that by putting their faith in what Jesus did for them on the cross, they can be saved. God, thank you for working in people's lives. God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.